I want to look at the abortion vote. MLAs are due to vote tomorrow on whether to change abortion law here. They will vote on whether to allow terminations in cases of fatal fetal abnormality, cases where doctors say there is no chance of a baby surviving. Anti-abortion group Precious Life is holding a vigil at Stormont ahead of the vote. Father Patrick McCafferty is among those taking part. Hello, Patrick.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Don Purvis, the former director of Mary Stopes Clinic in Belfast, as you can hear, is with us this morning. Patrick, what are your thoughts ahead of this vote?
I think we held the vigil last night, and I think it's vitally important that we unite across the community, Christians of all denominations and people of goodwill who are concerned and who believe that life is sacred from the moment of conception, to oppose this bill and to say that it is not happening in the name of the majority of the people of Northern Ireland.
Yeah, but Father McCafferty, what do you say to a young woman listening to this, and she may well be in a situation or has been in a situation where there are medical professionals looking at her and telling her that her child has no chance of survival?
The Professor James Dornan on the View there, it was around early December, spoke about that reality. He said that fatal fetal abnormality is not a medical term, and he also said that the life of a few minutes can be as perfect as a life of 60 years. We had it present at the vigil last night, a young mother whose child did live only for a few moments, and she regarded those moments as very, very precious and to be treasured as long as she lives.
Don?
So it's not the length of life that is important, it's the sanctity and the value of every life, no matter how, whether it's 60 years or 6 minutes.
Don?
Thanks, Stephen. First of all, I have to blow this myth out of the water that the majority of people in Northern Ireland are opposed to this. Actually, opinion poll after opinion poll has shown that the majority of people in Northern Ireland support legislative change, particularly in cases of rape and incest and for fetal abnormality. This comes down to the availability of choice for women. There will be women, and I would support those women in their right to choose to continue with their pregnancy, to give birth to a child that has no chance of survival, and to have those few special moments with their child. And I've known many women that have chosen to go through with that, and they have said that that experience was right for them. There are other women who choose that they cannot continue with that pregnancy, that they don't want to be forced to give birth to a dead baby. And those women have been forced to go to England to try and access a service that should be available to them at home. And in speaking to one of those women very recently, and we've seen quite a few of them coming to Mary Stopes. And these were very, very much wanted children. These were much hoped for and prayed for pregnancies. And when they got a diagnosis at 20, 22 weeks to say, "I'm sorry, but the child that you'd hoped for is not what's going to be delivered. Your child has no chance of survival." Those women are heartbroken. Their husbands are heartbroken. Their families are heartbroken. And that is compounded when you're told, by the way, we can't care for you in your own country, in your own local hospital, where the teams of nurses and doctors that you've got to know over the last 20 weeks would be available to look after you and provide that care. We can't do that. I'm very sorry. But here's a phone number, and you can go and get help. And you have to travel to England, and then you have to arrange for the remains of your child to be sent home to you, or to arrange a funeral service out there. I think it's absolutely ridiculous in this day and age. And the UN has come out very recently and said that they affirm that access to abortion services is a human right. And to force any woman to continue with a pregnancy against her will is just barbaric.
Father McCafferty?
We must be very, very clear. No one has the right to choose the intentional abortion of an unborn child. Abortion is murder. If your mother is dying, and in the last moments,
well, even if the mother's life is at risk,
you do not intentionally kill the child. It's intentional abortion to which we are opposed and will always be opposed. You don't put a
even if a mother's life is at risk.
Yes, we do not intentional abortion, I emphasise, you can bring up all these very emotive cases, but at the end game...
Well, it's emotive in real life, Father McCafferty.
For the abortionists is abortion on demand.
So can I just clarify something with you? So if it is likely or a medic has decided that there is a serious risk to a pregnant mother's life, you would want that mother to be forced to have a child, would you?
The church teaches very clearly that both lives are of equal value and must both be fought to be saved.
So would you agree with an abortion in those circumstances when a mother's life is at risk?
Not an intentional abortion. An intentional, deliberate abortion.
So what if the mother dies?
Stephen, it's a rare occurrence. The church teaches that both lives, that the medics must fight to save both lives. And there is no deliberate killing either of the mother or the child. That's the essential matter here. There can be no deliberate killing of the mother or the child.
Stephen, can I just say that thankfully there are other Christians in Northern Ireland who have a different view and do believe in women's moral autonomy and the right to choose for themselves. I think the language used by Father McCafferty, I think Father McCafferty's language is quite disappointing, to criminalise and demonise women, some of those who would be Catholic women who have made a choice and a decision that is right for them and for their families. Can I just say that this notion of abortion on demand is scaremongering by those who are opposed to women who have choice, because there is no such thing as abortion on demand. It doesn't exist in Ireland, North and South, nor does it exist in the United Kingdom. I don't know of any woman that can walk in to a clinic or a hospital or a doctor's surgery and demand that she has an abortion. It doesn't exist. Women have to go through numerous hoops and barriers to gain access to a healthcare provision, and it's the only form of healthcare that comes under criminal legislation throughout these islands.
Your critics, Dawn, will say that what you're looking for here is an extension well beyond cases of fetal abnormality, and that this is a slippery slope. And once the legislation is passed, if indeed it is, then it will be abortion on demand in a not too distant future.
I've just outlined to you, Stephen, that abortion on demand does not exist. It's a myth that is peddled by those who are opposed to women having choice in any circumstances. No woman can walk into a doctor's surgery and demand that she have an abortion. It doesn't happen here, and it doesn't happen in England.
Well, you want the 67 Act here, don't you?
Well, my own personal opinion, and I would go even further than that, is that I think abortion should be decriminalised. Where we are at the minute in Northern Ireland is that we have two amendments coming to the floor of the Assembly tomorrow. One allowing abortion in cases of fetal abnormality, and the other allowing abortion in cases of sexual crime. They are both in line with a recent court ruling by Judge Horner in December that was taken by the Northern Ireland Human Rights Commission that said that Northern Ireland legislation is not compatible with the international framework on human rights. So those two amendments that are coming up tomorrow are trying to get our law in Northern Ireland in line with the basic rights that women have in many countries throughout the world. All I would ask for tomorrow is that Assembly members and parties in particular allow their members to have a free vote on this issue. Allow them to vote with their conscience.
It'll be interesting to see if the DUP allow a free vote within their party, for example.
It will, and I know that the DUP haven't permitted a free vote previously. Peter Robinson, when he was leader, did say that he would permit a free vote when the Justice Minister brought forward legislation, but he did a U-turn on that. I hope that Arlene would allow a free vote on this and allow members of her party to vote with their conscience. I think it's highly unlikely, but I would certainly encourage it.
Final word to you, Father McCafferty.
First of all, many of the MLAs have been elected by people who are pro-life, and people are entitled to expect them to defend the life of the unborn child, and we should certainly make this issue an election matter. And people Christian people, no true Christian can approve of abortion. And Dawn Purvis is playing with words. The 1967 Abortion Act is abortion on demand. It's wholesale slaughter of innocent unborn children.
Father McCafferty, thank you. Dawn Purvis, thank you. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Hello, Steve. I'm getting fed up with all this on the radio about this abortion and same-sex marriage. The elections are coming up in May. They're Stormont. Isn't it about time to put a mini referendum out there with those elections?
Which way would you vote on abortion?
Yes, because I believe that the woman has the choice. It should be her choice. And it shouldn't be the choice of the church or an MLA to dictate to a woman what her choice should be.
This is a huge moment tomorrow. The legislation that could be changed dates back to the 19th century. That's how far back we go, John.
And then we're now living in the 21st century, not the 19th century, Stephen.
John, thank you. Martin in Birmingham. Morning, Martin.
Hello there, Stephen. How are you doing?
Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, Dawn, you know, in terms of the narrative with regards to this particular subject, it's obviously highly emotional, and trying to get to a point where there is common sense being applied, but I'm not completely confident that Dawn's particular argument is actually putting many choices on the table. I think there's a...
Dawn's gone, by the way.
Well, has she? Well, I was wanting to ask her the question about, you know, what, how many options are on the table. If a woman goes into a particular Mary Stopes clinic, how many options are on the table? Is it always ending in an abortion? Now, I know that Professor Dornan has actually made a comment in the past that, and this was on Radio Ulster, that there are the actual number of people that are going for abortion seems to be fairly high. And he was basically saying that there, he was alluding to the fact that maybe there was too many. Now, I'm basically saying is that what are the options on the table? And I think the narrative is also, from the media's perspective, is pretty negative towards the pro-life perspective. Now, I think many people who are pro-life are looking at this logically as well. And we know that there are two sides to the argument, but I think the narrative from the media's perspective is pretty much condescending towards the pro-life perspective and pretty much supportive of the alternative.
And Kelly. Morning, Kelly.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
Stephen, I suppose I'm a bit perplexed at this stage in terms of Mary Stopes is a family planning clinic. If we're talking about advice that's given to women who go in a crisis pregnancy, women go in case of a crisis pregnancy and they talk through their options with the counsellor. So the options would be, do you want to keep this pregnancy? Do you want to put this pregnancy up for adoption? Or do you want to have an abortion? So all those options are on the table, but that's not really what I'm on to chat about. In terms of the legislation going forward, we already know like 7 out of 10 people in Northern Ireland want change to the abortion legislation in cases of fatal abnormality, rape and incest. Like we're exporting nearly 1,000 women a year over to England and beyond to access healthcare services that really should be available to them and caring for them at home in Northern Ireland.
But you've heard those people who have a pro-life belief and they're going to fight this, Kelly.
Stephen, I appreciate that. And listen, I have values and beliefs of my own, but I don't impose them on other people. It's about women having the choice and trusting women to make the best decisions for them and their families. In crisis pregnancy, Stephen, that's what we have to remember. This is not you just wake up one morning and decide you don't want to be pregnant anymore. These are crisis pregnancy situations, and I believe we should trust women to make the best decisions for themselves.
Have a listen to Marion Woods. Stay there, Kelly, from Life NI. Marion, good morning to you. You've just heard
morning,
Kelly's contribution there. Say good morning to Kelly, Marion. Interesting you
morning,
two talking
Kelly.
To each other. Go ahead, Marion.
Morning, Marion. Well, the first thing is that just that figure of 1,000 women a year, it's interesting because, you know, you had Dawn Purvis on talking about, you know, this issue of, well, I don't really like the term fatal abnormality, but we'll use that in the discussion anyway, rape and incest. And the interesting thing is 1,000 women do not leave Northern Ireland for those three situations. So we have this kind of thing that's happening in the Assembly this week, and we have all these voices in Northern Ireland who are getting involved in this discussion, and we really need to bring it down to what is it that we're actually talking about. We're actually talking about fewer than 100 cases a year for a diagnosis of a terminal illness before birth. I don't think we have the figures for rape and incest.
Why does it matter how many there are a year?
Well, the only thing that I want to do is just by saying that is I just want to identify, and I want to bring it back to what you were saying with Dawn Purvis, is that the figure of people keep on quoting, we're exporting 1,000 women a year for crisis pregnancies. We're not given this, we're not given that. And the fact is that that's actually taken away from the issue, because that thousand women a year is...
Maren, can I ask you something? I just want to ask you one question. Do you trust women to make the best decisions for themselves and their families? Or do you think that there should be legislation to stop those women making the best decisions for them and their families in a crisis pregnancy situation? Why should we impose our values on other people?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I just want to reiterate that Life Northern Ireland is a non-denominational charity. So before we get into it, in terms of values, I just want to make it clear that we're not coming at this from a religious perspective.
Well, let's deal with Kelly's question, Marion.
Okay. Well, look, what I would say is that we actually believe that Northern Ireland doesn't have the services and the facilities that should be here for women to actually make a more life-affirming choice. We haven't seen these draft guidelines that Mr. Hamilton, the Minister for Health, has on the table. Nobody has seen these yet. We also don't have effective perinatal hospice care. So whenever we're dealing with a child who is diagnosed in the womb with a terminal illness, we don't actually have the care facilities in Northern Ireland to deal with that.
So I appreciate that. And if a woman decides that she wants to continue with that pregnancy, I agree that those services should be there. However, if that woman decides that she should not continue with that pregnancy, I also believe that she should be cared for, and cared for here on the National Health Service in Northern Ireland. And I don't think that we should be sending her on the cost of from £600 to £2,000 off to England, maybe on her own because nobody else can travel with her. I think that's just demonising women. So I agree with your point in terms of those services should be there, but I think we should definitely be able to treat our women in Northern Ireland on the National Health Service.
But it's very, you know, like we would want to be, Kelly, treating women and their unborn babies as well. Because
against their will, though.
Well, you know, I mean, through counselling and, like I say, with the services, you know, I mean, we're talking about, you know, in the case here of a diagnosed terminal illness before birth, as was said earlier on, that Professor Dornan actually said that you can't know whenever a child is going to pass away. It's just not, you know, doctors can make...
Well, Professor Dornan, who is quoted quite a lot, is one medical individual, one. There are others who disagree with them, and there are real-life women, Marion, who have had a doctor looking into their eyes and telling them that their child will not survive.
Well, I'll put it this way, Stephen. We actually know from the Royal College of Gynecologists and Obstetricians that they don't want the law changed. They want the guidelines, and they want the guidelines in line with the law that is currently as it stands. So if you want to talk about professionals and you want to talk about the doctors, the top people in the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists have made it clear that they would want the guidelines, and they would be happy with the guidelines in line with the law as it stands now.
Do you know what we're going to do? We should really see if we can get Professor Dornan on the programme. Because lots of you are talking about what he has said. Let's see if I'll see if we can get him on tomorrow and clarify exactly what he meant. David in Warringstown. Hello, David.
How are you doing, Stephen? I've been listening with great interest to this debate this morning, and I haven't heard anybody mention about lowering the rate from 24 weeks where a woman could have an abortion down to maybe 12 weeks or 14 weeks when the baby is the size of your thumb, when it doesn't have...
Yeah, but this isn't what the vote's about tomorrow.
I know that, but why is nobody looking at this? Stephen, have you ever seen a baby been born at 23 weeks or under the age of the collar? Because I have, and... what happens day and daily over in England and the mainland, a woman can have an abortion legally up to 24 weeks and 6 days. Those babies are plucked out of the womb, a vacuum, they're thrown onto a sluice, and they're left there to suffocate. Now, you wouldn't see that happening in an abattoir. In 2016, I think it's absolutely apparent that such barbaric practices are allowed to happen in this on the mainland, which we call part of the UK. Now, I'm completely against abortion.
So do you agree with what Father McCafferty said, no abortion in any circumstances?
No, I would be only on for abortion and fetal abnormality, where a child has no reasonable prospect of life, where it's going to have no, we're not going to survive, or a girl or a woman has been raped, or incest has happened. But anything else, Stephen, no. I was a very much pro-life. I have a wee fella who was born at 23 weeks. and he's alive and well today. But that's the point I'm trying to make. These children are being plucked from the womb and just left to suffocate, and that is absolutely barbaric.
Well, I'm sure there will be people disputing your version of what happens during that medical procedure, David. You're not a doctor.
I've been there and I've watched and I've seen. If you watch that BBC program, The Silent Scream, Stephen Nolan, and make the hair stand on the back of your neck, believe you me, if I was to have I keep animals, and if I was to have an animal and leave it to suffocate without medical intervention from a vet, I could be prosecuted. Now, you wouldn't do it to an animal, so why is it done to a human being?